Congregation, a few of us were talking downstairs a little while ago. One had just commented on my prayer this morning for the women in the church that are pregnant. And as we talked, we were thinking about how many women have gone through the experience of losing a child. We call it miscarriage. And as we were reflecting on that, we thought of several within the church that where we have lost children. And I just was taken back by that, that the discussion came up, because this is an anniversary date that my wife and I lost a child due to miscarriage. I think we would be surprised tonight if I asked all the women to stand who lost a child in miscarriage in this church. And so tonight, I wanted to pray for you ladies as well. I didn't want to surprise you with that in a prayer. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father in heaven, you have taught us throughout the scriptures how you are the God of the womb. We just professed that in the Apostles' Creed, and we thought about how the Holy Spirit caused Jesus to be conceived in the Virgin Mary. Miracle upon miracles. And I know, Lord, for some it's painful to think about your sovereignty and your goodness and your wisdom when it comes to the womb. For there are those within our congregation that have lost children in the womb. And Father, that's a unique pain and hurt that I know some women here carry. So Father, we just thought it would be good tonight to pray and ask you to bring blessing to these two that weren't able to bring a child to full term alive, and just the hurt that can be. So we ask that you strengthen the women of our church, O Father. Bless the women of our church as well. They've never been able to have a child. And the pain that comes with that, the difficulty that comes with that. And again, we have so many illustrations of that in the scriptures. They're certainly not alone in that pain. So, Heavenly Father, would you just comfort our women tonight? We love them and thank you for them. And Lord, you're so kind to us. Our Father in heaven, we pray for any within our church tonight that carries sorrow. Life is hard. You are good. You are sovereign, and you do love us, and you are wise. And we stand with what little weak faith we might have on those great truths. But we acknowledge before you, Lord, honestly, that sometimes when our mind thinks about the loss of loved ones or other hurts and other troubles, we just need you. We need you, your power. We need your closeness to be with us. So comfort us, Lord, in our sorrow. Again, Father, we pray tonight you'd be with the grief share program that's going on now in the church, just helping us to grieve. We trust biblically. We want to learn to grieve biblically, Lord. Would you help us with that? And then, Lord, we want to thank you again tonight for life and for all the children that are here again in this evening service. And we thank you for just how well they sit through long services, and it's hard not to squirm around some. Lord, thank you for these little ones. And we trust that as they grow, they'll come to know more about you and love you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come to each child here tonight, drawing them to Jesus. Father, we pray for our youth. We pray that you would protect them from all the messages from the world. Be with our children, we pray. Guard them, protect them. Put a hedge around them. Give them great wisdom. Teach them of Satan's trickery early on, that they might not be fooled and deceived, but instead would keep their eyes fixed upon Jesus. We pray for our youth. Thank you, Lord, for the youth group meeting again tonight, for the youth group leaders that labor in that arena. Lord, we know these leaders just love these kids and serve because of it, and we ask you to bless them. Father, Sunday school is done, catechism's done, all these events, but yet, Lord, we pray you continue to educate our kids. Biblically educate them. In the home, Lord, we pray that there would be good worship in the home, times of prayer, times of just good Bible reading, times of just good discussion, maybe around the table, maybe at the foot end of a bed at night. But Lord, that you would be just the Lord of our homes. And that, Lord, the worship that's conducted here on Sundays would just be further worship of what's already going on in the homes. So help mom and dad to care for the kids. Give them wisdom. Give them patience. Help them see the tremendous ministry they're involved with now in their lives. This moment in time where they're touching the hearts of their children with you and your word. Watch over our marriages. Bless our grandpas and grandmas. The ministry that they have, the vital ministry that they have. Help us in our old age not to be wasting our time, but to be praying and caring for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Father, we thank you that family is your design from the very beginning to image you throughout the world. So we thank you for family and the love we can have one with another. And again, Heavenly Father, we pray for those in our church that have not a lot of family. Some of us are just so blessed with family, but some of us, we don't. So we pray that there too, Heavenly Father, you'd bring comfort and joy. And Father, help us as the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to continue to care for each other, continue to watch over each other's lives, to be submissive one to another so that we might all grow. Help us to uphold each other in prayer and getting together and cards and prayers and visits. Help us to be a good, hospitable church, we pray. Father, we've come hungry again tonight to this evening service and are anxious to hear you speak once more. Father, bring us to the gospel. Bring us to the cross. Bring us to the Lord's table tonight. Bring us to the open grave. Bring us to the clouds and consider once again the ascension of our Savior, but also the coming soon of our Savior, just as we saw him depart. So, Father, speak to us tonight, we ask. And may we be honest and open before you, asking you to forgive us of our sins and helping us to love you and to love each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The offering tonight, congregation, is for Sovereign Grace URC. Let's give generously. Thank you. Let's turn to number 439 in your blue Psalter. The song is, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. You know this song well, so let's stand to sing of our Redeemer. Let's stand together. Another one of those songs, right? Who are we singing to? We're singing to each other. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing of my Redeemer. So it's like we're cheerleading each other on. Let's all sing because His blood has purchased me. On the cross, He sealed my pardon. He paid the debt and made me free. Let's turn to the book of John tonight. John 6. We'll begin reading at verse 48. So we're kind of jumping right into the middle of John 6, long chapter, 71 verses. But we'll just read from 48 to 60. So it's John 6, 48. And then after you locate that, you pull out your forms and prayer book and turn to page 230, Lord's Day 28. We have three questions there tonight. 230 and 31 and 32, yeah. But first, John 6. What we're about to hear is the very word of the Lord. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? The word of the Lord to us tonight from John 6. Now, if we'll turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 28, found on page 230, I'll read question 75. Join with me, if you would, please, with the answer. How does the Holy Supper remind and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all of his benefits? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in remembrance of him. With this command come these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup shared with me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me, and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and tastes with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Do you note how many times the writers here use the word surely, surely, surely? Again, this is the heart of the Heidelberg Catechism, to assure us with sure truth, surely, surely, surely. It's great. All right, number 76. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart
the entire suffering and death of Christ, and in this way to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. If I turn the page, one more question, 77. Where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup? Answer, in the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The promise is repeated by Paul in these words, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Thank you. Congregation, I want to speak tonight about three things concerning the Lord's Supper. And I want to do so trying to just saturate us tonight with the Word of God. So we should be leaving tonight just dripping wet from the Word of God pouring out on us on this subject. So you'll be hearing me refer tonight to just numerous passages. And I wanted to speak this evening about our need. Here's the outline if you're a note taker. Simply this, very simple outline tonight. I want to speak this evening about our need to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There's the R, remember. And then I will move to our need to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And finally, we'll speak this evening of rejoicing in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So that's our simple outline. Remembering, receiving, rejoicing. So the table that is spread before us on our communion Sundays invites us. Invites us to remember, invites us to receive, and invites us to rejoice in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But let me just join with Jesus Christ tonight from this text and say something carefully, I trust compassionately, but correctly. If you do not remember, and if you do not receive, and if you do not rejoice in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must say to you that you are not invited to the Lord's table. This is the Lord's table. And we must come by faith, to have our faith fed. This is a communion of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To take part, we must be first born again. What communion can be had with the Savior and those who refuse to believe and defy His lordship and stiff-arm His grace? What communion can there be? There is none. So Jesus says to us, did you see verse 53? Do you still have it before you? Listen to these sobering words. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly. By the way, you always know when you're in the book of John because he'll always say truly, truly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or just say truly. I don't know why. But John says, truly, truly. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. So unless we take part in the remembering and in the receiving and in the rejoicing of the Lord Jesus Christ's body and blood, we have no part with Him. We have no life in us. And so our call is always for all of us to come to the Lord's table. So, young people, let me just speak to you tonight. Unless there's some elderly that need to hear this too. But young people, you're invited to the Lord's table. You don't have to wait till you're 18. There's no rule like that. There's no rule like that. Yes, of course we want people that can understand the gospel to make a credible profession of faith, of course. And what year is that in their age? You can debate that. But the idea that you've got to wait until you're out of high school to make a profession of faith, you're not going to find that in the Scriptures. What we're going to find in the Scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ calling us to His table. And to come to His table means to make profession of faith. And so we have a profession of faith class coming up, and I trust you'll be there. If, in fact, you have a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, let me ask you tonight. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Come to the table and be fed. Have your faith nourished and strengthened. Now, boys and girls, I understand there's time to wait and grow. We want you to be a boy and a girl. We want you to grow. It's all right. It's fine. But this is serious, serious business. Jesus says to us, unless you take of me, you have no life in you. You don't have my life in you. So come. Come and be fed. Listen to the heart of your pastor. Listen to the heart of your parents. I told you, I've admitted it, I've confessed before you that when I was 18, I made profession of faith, get my dad off my back, get my pastor off my back. I knew the answers. So I went on in there and saw the elders, took care of that business, checked that box, and walked out. Was I a believer at the time? No. It wasn't until 3 years later that the Lord brought the gospel to me in such power that I finally believed. But we want you to come. Jesus is inviting us to come and believe in Him and take of Him, drink of Him. So I'm calling out to you again tonight as your pastor, come. Would you say to me tonight, yes, Pastor, listen, I do believe. And we say, come. Come. Would you withhold yourself from a good meal, a feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, but Pastor, I just have a little faith. I understand. That's why he calls us to the table, so he'll feed us, so our little faith will grow and strengthen. This is what happens at the table when we take by faith this bread and drink of this cup. This is what happens. Our faith grows. It's a mystery, like so many other mysteries in the scriptures. It's a mystery. But it happens. Doesn't it, congregation? It happens when he feeds your soul. You can join with these writers and say, surely, surely, yes, oh, surely, I believe too. You don't have to wait for your brother or sister. You just come. Is God calling you to come? That's our question. And you can only answer that. Only you can answer your heart. What is God doing? Listen to Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers. He says this, one word, one solemn word here, which I would speak with my whole soul. Remember, if you do not know him, the day will come in which he will say to you, I never knew you. If there is no personal intimacy between you and Christ, he will disown you on the day when he cometh in the glory of his Father and all his holy angels with him. It will be idle to say, Lord, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But if you do not know him, he does not know you. And there will simply be this reply to all your claim derived from external religion. Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. So we pray that the word of God would not fall on closed ears and hard hearts, but would indeed be remembered and received so that we might all rejoice around, not just the communion table, but more importantly, we might all be gathered around the great wedding feast in heaven someday. We don't want an empty chair in heaven. Where are you? I don't know how else to put it. People have tried to soothe my soul by saying, well, you know, we won't have that kind of sorrow in heaven. Okay. I don't know. I'm telling you, as a dad, I want every one of my kids in glory. And I'll tell you, as a grandpa, I want every one of my grandkids in glory. And they know it because they've had grandpa in front of them. I love them too much to miss them for eternity. Now again, you don't come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and a saving belief in Jesus because your grandpa's got tears in his eyes. You come because your Savior hung on the cross. You come because Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary. You come to believe in him. And you come to worship him. But I'm just preaching like an old grandpa tonight. And I want every one of you there too. Or what kind of a shepherd would I be? So, I know, young people, that your mom and your dad have been praying for you. I spoke with a mother this week, this very week, about three of her kids. She's terrified right now. John says in 3 John, his letter, the third letter, 3 John 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. And I know that I've shared that verse with you before, because you could just turn it around and say, I have no greater sorrow than to know my children don't walk in truth. So I know this morning a group met for prayer downstairs and were praying that the gospel message would reach everyone in this church. And I know that on Monday night when we gathered for prayer, same prayer, we're praying that more and more will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and step forward and profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our heart. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. John 6:53, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So tonight, be sure to remember the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember his body. This body was born. This body was belittled. This body was broken. It was beat. This body was buried. This body of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you take it, you're feeding yourself upon Jesus Christ when you come by faith. This body, born, belittled, beat, buried. You can't think of the body of Christ without coming to Isaiah 53. How many times do we read Isaiah 53? We just love that text, don't we? Is that the text? Oh, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was despised, he was rejected of man. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Bruise him. Can you see him right now on the cross? Bruised. Here's one reason to remember the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is when you are being tempted to sin. Gentlemen, change the vision of this pornographic picture you're looking at with Jesus Christ there on the cross. It is hard to look at porn when you're looking at Jesus on the cross. Change image for image. His body was bruised and was beaten. This body was buried, Isaiah 53:9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. The body of Christ, when we take that morsel of bread and we bring it to our lips by faith, we're eating Jesus Christ. Why did this occur? Why was his body born and belittled and beaten and buried? Why? Why? So that he who knew no sin would become sin for us. He suffered so we would be healed. He suffered so that we might be purchased, have new ownership. He suffered so that we would understand at least a little bit what love is all about. This is love. Look at his body. Remember his body. Don't forget his body. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He suffered so that we might fear the wrath of God. Yet I fear this is not the case with too many of us. We don't fear the wrath of God. But Romans 3:12, all have turned away. They've become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Paul says in Romans, their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But if you remember the body of Christ, I think we'll be moved with a holy fear of God. Because this body, born, belittled, beaten, and buried, is the Son of God. And I tell you, this Heavenly Father has not forgotten
the born and belittled and beaten and bruised body of his son. That hasn't left his memory bank. Remember, Jesus says, the blood, the grace of God poured out for you that you might have life. Life is in the blood. And that blood, that life was poured out for us. As you hold the cup, remember that his blood was poured out to give you something, to give you life, full, abundant, forgiven, redeemed life. As you hold the cup, remember that his blood has purchased you. Listen to Revelation 5. Again, I'm just trying to saturate you with the Word of God tonight. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song. Here they are singing. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, that they will reign on the earth. He's even come to this little thing called Walker and purchased us. As you hold the cup today, remember that his blood has given us the victory. This is what we are to remember also, that there's victory in Christ. There's not just death on a cross, but there's the victory of the open grave, Revelation 12, 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Speaking of the martyrs, there's victory in Christ. Remember his body. Let this remembrance move you to action, and the action is the receiving of the body and blood of Christ. As we remember Jesus, then come and receive Jesus. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And that is who we are, by the grace of God. So be sure to receive the body and blood of Christ. Don't just remember it. Don't just think about it. Take action and come and receive him. The context here tonight in John 6 is, of course, Jesus talking to these Jews, these Israelites, wanting to see a greater miracle. Come on, Jesus, make some manna. He says, what? Manna? You don't want to eat that. You need to eat me. Christ is greater than the manna because his body and blood give eternal life, right? He said it twice in here. They went out there, collected the manna. What did they do? They ended up dying just like anybody else. But if you take from me, my body, my blood, you will live forever. The body and blood of Jesus is better than manna because, first of all, it's not just for the Israelites. It's for the whole world to take. The Chinese can take. The Japanese can take. Those people down in Haiti can take of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the gospel has gone out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and people are coming to Christ in Cuba. They're coming to Christ in Ethiopia. They're coming to Christ in Malawi. They're coming to Christ in Walker. Here we are. It gives eternal life. This bread brings back the dead. You thought about that? That's the power of the bread. Power of Christ's body, it brings back the dead. You will never go hungry with this bread. Every day the Israelites had to go out and pick some more. But we only need to pick of Christ. The body for life, the blood for justification. Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that leads to death, so that we may serve the living God? So here we are to remember, and then we're to receive. And now finally this, we're to rejoice. The body. What happened to his body? Well, we know. It resurrected. It came back to life. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in the tomb? I don't know.
What did Jesus start to do first? Did he open his eyes? Did he move his hands? Did he suddenly sit up? Was it a gradual thing? Resurrected, renewed. As you lift the bread, rejoice, because we're not going to be here very long. They ate the Passover feast in a hurry. Sometimes I think we ought to have the communion table. Eat it quickly, because we're not staying here long. Sandals and standing. And then they were out of there. Exodus 12:11. This is how are you to eat it? With your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. As you lift the bread, rejoice, because you will soon receive a new body when the trumpet sounds. You're going to get a new body. And it's good to remember the body of Jesus Christ and take of the body of Christ and then rejoice in this body, because this body is all new. And one day, you're going to get a new body. Praise God. I know some of you are just hurting tonight with joints and joint pain and arthritis. And the day's coming. The day's coming. You're going to get a new body and be upon a new earth. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven." I'll just add the words, "with his body." His resurrected body. He's going to come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Rejoice over this truth. So when we take of the body of Jesus Christ, we rejoice. 1 Corinthians 15:13. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses before God, and we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him. If, in fact, the dead are not raised, for the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, and it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but raised a spiritual body. There's a lot to rejoice in over there. Hebrews 9:27, just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And I say to you, I think it's a good place to wait for Jesus at the table. And we don't just rejoice with the body, but we rejoice with the blood. There's the new covenant. There's power there. There's hope there. Jeremiah 31:31, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." How, Lord? How will you accomplish this? How, Lord, will you take our sins and remember them no more? I'll wash them away by the blood of my Son. So we rejoice tonight
that our sins are washed away. So remember, receive, and rejoice. Let me give you one more R, one more. This is a closing prayer. It's my prayer. Be sure to keep returning to the Lord, to His church, to His people. Don't just remember Jesus and then receive Him and then rejoice and then just kind of be gone. But keep returning. Keep returning to the table. Keep returning to profess your faith as you stand together and say the Apostles' Creed. Keep returning to take your place and your position in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we remember, we receive, and we rejoice, but we also keep on returning. And what a wonderful thing it is for us in our practice here at Walker to return to church on a Sunday evening to worship just a little more, to remember once again, to receive of our Savior once again, and to rejoice in our Savior. Amen? What a good practice. That our Lord's Day is a Lord's Day of remembering and receiving and rejoicing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the precious body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want to pray tonight. We want to pray tonight again. If there's anyone here that you've been working in their heart to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and make profession of faith, Lord, that you would give them courage to come, strength to come, vision to come, power to come, and do just that. Lay your hand upon every soul here tonight. For all of us just once again to evaluate our own profession. Is it true? Do we believe? Do we trust in Jesus and none other? Is this profession true? Is it from our heart? Then, Father, place your hand, I pray, on everyone here that hasn't made profession of faith, that more would come and do just that. Sincerely, honestly, empowered by your Spirit, cause them to be born again. Father, have them come. Pray. Father, we want to thank you for your presence here again this evening. For we know that you are right here. You're very kind to us. Very gracious to us that you would meet with us. Thank you. It's been our desire today, Lord, to honor you, to glorify you, to praise you, and I trust that's been done. We love you. And we only can say so because you first loved us. Father, bless us now in this coming week to go out into the highways and the byways of our life and continue to remember Jesus Christ and continue to make him known and rejoice in the salvation he's brought to us. Bless us as a congregation, we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and mercy.